not show up as patchwork, but will look as if the natural stone was all intact. The rather unusual framework of the ceiling construction, the open truss, is all local interpretation of the early Basilican or Gothic architecture, and we're carrying any added new molds and woodwork so that it ties in with that. The church is being air conditioned, and one of our most difficult problems was to air condition the church without any obvious ductwork that would interfere with the original appearance of the interior of the structure. This was accomplished by extending the clerestory out on the exterior sufficiently wide to accommodate the duct, which is run into that enclosed clerestory, and the only thing visible to indicate the air conditioning are the ceiling grills, which when the painting is completed will be hardly noticeable. The new fixtures for lighting the church will be compatible with the early architecture insofar as, of course, in those days they didn't have the this type of electric fixture, but the fixture is designed on the Romanesque or Gothic style that would be in keeping with the religious architecture. The new floor tile, which would be 12 inches square, is made down here at Dehannes and is termed manganese Dehannes tile. It's a earth color and is not the pink that most people associate with Dehannes tile. We felt like the pink was a little out of keeping with the style of the architecture, and that the darker earth colored tile would tie in with the stained pews and add not only to the ease of maintenance but also to the general appearance of the church. The sanctuary will be carpeted, and the carpet will be a close woven, probably acrylic type of material that will be moth-proof and not subject to easy deterioration or wear. Now, are there any other...
will there be anything done to the altars or
the two side altars and the main altar, which will now be used as the altar reservation for the Blessed Sacrament, will be, all of the original altars will be left in their original position. The new main altar will be wood, and it will be brought forward on its own platform, and in doing that, it is moved a little closer to the nave or the seating section of the church. But the original altar, which will now be the altar of reservation, will be treated very much like it is now, except instead of it being the more or less flat white, it will be antiqued, if you will, or slightly tinted to tie in with the new wall color, and the statues that are in the main altar and also the side altars will be left as they are. They seem to be in very good condition, and we don't want them freshly painted, and we want them to be in good keeping with the rest of the decoration.
Have the colors been chosen for the...
We have not chosen the colors just yet, because at the present time they're putting the prime coat on the existing ceiling, and we're having to choose the colors before the tile goes in, which is a little difficult to do, but we're holding off on the last finished coat so that we can compare that color with the tile. The tile will be in just prior to putting on the finished wall color. So that will be a double check as to whether we're getting the right tint that we're looking for. The exposed wood framework of the stained glass windows will be painted a different color than the walls, and in doing that, it will accent the windows and make them, in our opinion, more compatible with the rest of the interior. It'll add a little bit of depth, very much like a picture frame does to a picture. Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion of the stained glass windows?
We think they're very nice. Oddly enough, just by accident, we found out that Mr. Rams of the Arco Stained Glass Company in San Antonio was very familiar with the windows, and when he was a young man just starting out in the stained glass work, why, he was familiar with the installation of these windows. So he's also repairing some of the broken glass of these windows. So really, there's been many years have gone by, but the one of the
well, we understand they were put in 1907. Mm-hmm. These windows.
Well, he seemed to be very familiar with them, and had worked for the company that had put them in. So probably his knowledge of them came from coming down later on and making some repairs and that sort of thing. I think we're adding when we were brought into the job, the confessionals were of the movable type, and they were placed so that part of the stained glass windows were covered up, and they were rather awkward looking, and so we're putting in two, or at least one double confessional that is built in so that it appears to be an original part of the church and will add a great deal to the general appearance. Also, the original confessionals covered up a dedication plaque to the Reverend Matthew Chazelle, who was the second missionary priest at Castorville, and he died at a very early age of 26 years in 1847.
And you know he's buried under the altar.
Well, we didn't know that.
Yeah,
that
he was moved in 1879.
Uh-huh. Well,
we found a record of that. What would you say is the outstanding thing about the architecture of this church or the building of this church?
Well, I think that the general proportions are excellent on the inside. I think after working with it and learning a little of the early history of it, I think the most remarkable thing is that it was built by the local parishioners. It's hard to conceive that they could find time enough and to build a church within a reasonable length of time just from their own efforts. And all of the stone walls are hand-hewn. The stonework is termed random rubble. It's not cut stone. It's obtained from fairly close to the local community, and in the main, it's held up very well down through the years. There's a few pieces of the stone that have deteriorated, but that's been patched. And part of the remodeling work was going back and repointing many of the joints that the mortar had come out of, and in order to make it weatherproof.
Would you give an estimate on how long you think the building is probable to stand?
Well, with proper maintenance, I think it would be subject to no act of God, earthquake, or violent storm. It should keep on standing for just as long as maintenance is given to the structure. Operation from the standpoint of the speaking voice from the sanctuary. So we're attempting to correct that as much as possible by putting a rather disguised acoustic tile work on the balcony face. When it's on there, it will look as if it's plaster. And we hope that that and the ceiling of the balcony, being of acoustic tile, will form enough absorption to keep from having too much reverberation from voice originating in the sanctuary.
The pews, would you?
The pews are very nice. They're of the old type. They have the open back. They're quite comfortable. The
I think that probably get some points of controversy over that.
They're reasonably comfortable, and we recommended strongly that no new pews be brought in, because these pews are part of the early style of the church. They're rather unusual in that the ends have a cast iron capping on the wood moat, on the wood end, and that is somewhat unusual, and it forms they're just definitely antiques, and they should be preserved.
Do you think they were handmade or bought at that time?
Well, there's no doubt they were handmade, but I think they were probably purchased from one of the pew manufacturers. I don't believe they were built on the job. I think they were bought from one of the companies that just made pews for churches. We found some pews over at Our Lady of Grace Church in La Crosse that are somewhat similar, but they're not quite as handsome as those here in St. Louis Church.
But we don't really know if those pews have been in here the entire time of the church.
No, I have no way of knowing that, unless some of the old timers around here could remember, say around in the early 1900s, if they remembered those pews.
No, not for. We haven't.
The Stations of the Cross that were here when we started the remodeling were somewhat out of scale, and they were definitely of a mediocre type, and we were able to find some original stations from the Our Lady of Victory Convent in San Antonio, that they happen to be getting a new convent and they can't use these very large stations, so we were able to get the Mother Superior to sell these stations to St. Louis Church, and they are just ideal because they have all of the characteristics that are altars.
When are they dated from?
I really don't know, except that they were early 1900s on there.
Well, Tommy, now I'm talking to Tommy Hogue, the foreman, or what would you call supervisor, or what's your title on this job?
He's
the general contractor foreman for Jory.
Joe Joris
Company, who is doing the renovation on the church. Tommy, have you found anything unusual while you're working on the church?
Just they didn't leave any marks nowhere. We can't find a thing. Any history value, that just didn't find anything. One name, Alex Yonkman, 1907, and on a window. And that's all.
What do you have to say about the construction or the rock work or anything as you work with it now? What do you think about the work that they did in 1868
and 70? I just have to say it's fantastic, you know, how they done it. I don't know how, but they've done a good job.
What do you think, how much of this construction do you think was done initially at the time they built the church?
I'm sure the choir balcony was added. We don't know what year either. That's one thing we don't know, but that was added.
And what about the sacristy?
I think the sacristy, the pre-sacristy, was added in later years, the way it looks. And the ceiling above the altar was added in later years, because when you look above it, it's all painted above that ceiling.
Mm-hmm. So they probably had it open before that, huh?
If you look at this here, you can tell that this was put in later. See, it's painted up there.
So the steeple was probably open.
That's right. This was all open.
Uh-huh.
And then after they put this in, they didn't put this ceiling. This ceiling has got round nails in it. This,
uh-huh.
this is very old.
Oh, this was probably put in even later than the first time.
Right.
Last Tuesday, March the 13th, 1973, Tommy Hoag and his crew removed the original cornerstone, which is inscribed A.D. July 2nd, 1868. After cleaning the stone surface, one of the workmen came across something tin, and upon examination was found to be empty. There had probably been some document or a message in there written by the priest or the people of that time, but the message has been lost to the elements. Tommy Hoag is also our parish council chairman of the building board committee, who is in charge of all the construction and repairs in the parish.